Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Today, folks, we're going to get right into rating the Raw roster. We were interrupted last week, so we had some technical difficulties. A lot of stuff was going on, so hopefully we can get this finished today and everything is well with Blog Talk Radio. Before we start, I do want to say the following thing. The Seth Rollins situation is still up in the air, folks. He has a torn ACL and partially torn meniscus. They're saying he may not require surgery. If he does not require surgery, we might be talking about a month and a half. Still certainly time for WrestleMania. If he does require surgery, forget it. And I guess we're going to know more about that Monday. From what I'm hearing, it's leaning toward forget it. So we'll see, folks. Let's cross our fingers if that's not the case. Unfortunately, this injury did reveal the fact that he was, in fact, going to wrestle CM Punk at WrestleMania, which probably gave away the Royal Rumble ending. So it's unfortunate all the way around. We hope that the injury is not going to require surgery, and we hope that he will be able to make it to WrestleMania. Right now, it's like 60-40. So anyway, we wanted to get that in. So we will see what ends up happening with that. Folks, I do want to reaffirm the scores we gave. We were able to get up to the C's and in the Raw roster, so we just wanted to let you know about the ones we had already rated. We rated them on the following categories: ring work, mic work, ability to play their character, and their marketability. That's the four topics, okay? So the ring work, obviously extremely important. Mic work, obviously extremely important. The ability to play a character, convey to the audience who you're supposed to be, extremely important. And the marketability, which was a little controversial, but let's face it, it's a business. And if you can bring big money into the business, then your marketability counts. So what we had gotten was Akira Tozawa got an 89, Angel. This is not on a scale of 1 to 100, by the way. You can go way over 100 here, obviously. Akira Tozawa, 89. Angel Garza, 86. Apollo Crews got a 65. Braun Strowman got a 79. Bronson Reed got a 62. Brutus Creed got an 87. Chad Gable got 111. CM Punk with 107. And Cody Rhodes with 107. So that's where we left. So we're picking it up with the D's. And the first person on the list for D is, let's see, that would be Damian Priest. So let's talk a little bit about Damian Priest. We'll try to go reasonably quick on here because we do have a lot to cover, but we're going to analyze it a little bit. For what he does, Damian Priest's ring skills are fine. He's not Chad Gable. He's not Kurt Angle. He's not Dean Malenko. He doesn't have to be. Ring skills are much more than how many moves you have in your arsenal. It's how well do you perform the moves that you have in your arsenal, your timing, your ring placement, all that kind of stuff, you know, the lack of botching in your matches. And I think he's fairly solid. I mean, again, listen, he's not a 10, not a 9, but I'm going to give him an 8, Mike, I think, for what he does, which obviously has some limitations. I don't think he does anything that's overstepping what he knows he can do well. And I think that's important because I think some wrestlers do that. I mean, we saw Top Dollar, right, do that ridiculous over the top thing. He knew he couldn't do it, or couldn't do it well every time. And what does he do? He makes a fool out of himself. And sometimes you see workers take a chance or do something that I've done it before and I think I can do it, but they do it 75% of the time. I think Damian Priest pretty much sticks to the things he knows he can do and does well. So for that, I'm going to give him an 8. What's your score on Damian Priest ring work, Mike?
Yeah, I got to give him an 8 as well. I mean, he's a veteran. He's been at this a while. He has very few botches, you know. I mean, if this was 10 years ago and he was still in Ring of Honor, it'd be a little bit different, but it's fine. He's what, 38, 39, 40 years old now, and he's been at this for a while, and so, yeah, 8.
Okay, so there's 2 8s for Damian Priest as far as just in-ring work. Todd, let's go to you.
I'm going to give him an 8 as well.
Okay, so all around, on a possible scale of 30 being the highest he could get, Damian Priest gets a 24, which is pretty fair. Now, mic work is going to be interesting, and I'll tell you why. 2 months ago, I would have given him slightly above average to maybe a little better than slightly above average, maybe a 6 or a 7. Thought he was kind of a one-trick pony. You know, he does the tough guy thing and whatever. This new gimmick that's happening with R-Truth and his potential friendship with him or whatever has brought out a different side. And we're clearly seeing now that he can do other things with his mic work other than just that normal Damian Priest tough guy thing. When he was doing the Bad Bunny thing, his mic work was not great. Even when he first started with the Judgment Day, I thought his mic work was average, a little bit above average. What he's doing with R-Truth now in some of the backstage skits and things proves me wrong. I think he's a little better than that even. So I'm going to give him an 8 on that too. I think he's come a little ways from the Bad Bunny era mic, and he's doing a little bit better on the mic than he was.
Yeah, I got to give him an 8 as well. I mean, he's come light years from being Punishment Martinez.
I agree with that. He's come a long way from just being the Damian Priest that hung around with Bad Bunny as well. Todd, your rating on the mic work of Damian Priest.
You're absolutely right there, Leeway, with him. His mic work got a little better since he joined the Judgment Day and everything. Well, like you said, I'm going to give it an 8 as well.
Okay, so there's another 24. We are now going to the character portrayal. And this is, again, something that I think he's improved on. His character portrayal, I thought, originally was really bad. When he first got into the WWE, not so much NXT, when he first got into WWE, I thought it was below average. I wasn't even sure he knew what his character was supposed to be. Then they went in a little bit different direction with it. He got a little bit better. Then they did the heel turn, and I felt like, well, it's a little bit better yet. Now I think it's better than it's been. I think he's starting to figure out who exactly he is supposed to be. And for that reason, I'm going to give him a 9 on this. I think this is one of his strongest suits, Mike.
I think we'll give him a 9 as well. And think about this. When they eventually do decide to bring Bad Bunny back in, there's going to be some very interesting back and forth between himself and Bad Bunny.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. And you know that's eventual. Okay, we have 2 9s. Todd, your rating.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, so that gives him a score on that category of a 27, and we're going to marketability. Well, with the Judgment Day, I think it's highly marketable, but the person driving that marketability right now is R-Truth, who's the number one merchandise seller. He actually outsold CM Punk with the R-Truth joining the Judgment Day t-shirt on his own with just the Mr. Money in the Bank or Senior Money in the Bank thing or the Damian Priest t-shirts. I think it's not awful. but I think it's limited. So I think I'm going to give him a 7 on this. That could very, very easily improve once he flips fate, which he's going to do. But right now, it's all we can judge him by is what he is doing now. And I'm sure Judgment Day t-shirts are flying off the shelves, but I don't think he's the force driving it. So I'm going to say 7, Mike.
I got to give it a 7 as well. I do agree with you. It's a 7 with a up arrow on it.
Yes, absolutely. I think they'll be marketable. He's marketable. Just right now, the marketability is not as high as it could be. Todd, your rating on marketability?
I'm going to give it a 7 as well.
Okay, so we're all in agreement on Damian Priest here, and we have, 48, 58, 16, 75, 96. So Damian Priest gets a final score of a 96. Now, Derek in the chat room says, I have a hard time believing that they really want The Rock performing live at 4 or 5 in the morning when they're in the chamber in Australia when they could have him at Mania. Yeah, listen, as far as that's concerned, I'm still convinced we're seeing a three-way. I'm still convinced it's going to be Cody Rhodes, The Rock, and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Okay, so now we're going to Dexter Lumis, who's been missing in action. Face on a milk carton. Okay, his ring work. I know his character is not supposed to be, you know, an excellent grappler or anything. I know it's very different when you play that type of a character, and he's probably capable of more than he's showing. But I always found his ring work to be very boring. And I just don't know. He is a character-driven wrestler. He is not a ring work-driven wrestler. A little bit like Bray Wyatt in that respect. Bray Wyatt's ring work wasn't what you would call, you know, exciting exactly. He was a character. And the character is what drove it. So I'm going to say just average. I'm going to say 5 on Dexter Lumis' ring work, Mike.
I'm going to give it a little bit better and say 6, but I do agree with you. I mean, even when he was back in TNA as Sam Shaw, you know, it was basically the same character. Basically the same character.
Yeah, he's definitely a character-driven wrestler. Todd, ring work on Dexter Lumis.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
Okay, that gives it a 16. Now, mic work is not going to be fair because he doesn't talk. So what you have to basically do is go through how well he conveys his thoughts or emotion through his facial expression, body language, whatever. The mic work is not there, but he still is able to get that done. That's going to tie in a little bit to how well he plays his character, but I'm not going to allow that to bleed into this rating. His mic work is non-existent. His ability to convey what he's trying to say, he's never really trying to say anything except, you know, crush, kill, destroy, right? I'll give him a 7. I think it's above average for the character that he's playing.
Yeah, I think it's a 7 as well. And, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, especially back in NXT when he actually did have, like, Indy Hartwell could speak for him or Johnny Gargano was speaking for him at one point, you know. But he's a guy that definitely needs somebody to speak for him. He's a guy that probably could stand to be with a Paul Heyman or somebody like that.
Yeah, he's obviously, it's not his strong point, but he's still able to get his point across, which is part of mic work. Mic work can also be, you know, your body language, the way you convey to the audience what you're feeling is important too. Todd, what's your rating on Dexter Lumis?
I'm going to give it a 7 as well.
All right. So not too bad considering he doesn't talk, right? Ability to portray the character. Well, I have news. If your character is supposed to be a psychopathic, stalkerish, serial killer type, he's nailed it. I don't know how much better you can do. The problem with Dexter Lumis is when you try to make him not that. The problem is when you try to make him a fun, goofy sidekick to Johnny Gargano, who's just, you know, a misunderstood soul. You have a problem with that because he doesn't look like that. He looks exactly like the character he's supposed to play. Give him that character, then he's a 10. I mean, he looks the part, he acts the part. Believe me when I tell you, seldom have I seen a wrestler be able to play a character better than that with his look, his overall look. But I have to also go on the fact that you changed his character, and I don't think he was successful at that. So the 10, I'm going to knock it down a little bit. I'm going to say 8, only because the WWE shifted what he was supposed to be, Mike.
I got to go with an 8 as well. And look, if they wanted to make it, now granted, faces have to do it, have to talk some. But if they want to make him a face and just say, do the same thing to the heels that you do to the faces, fine, I'm for that. But you'd have to, again, you'd almost have to find somebody to talk for him or whatever, you know, because he doesn't do that well.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough playing that character. So he does a good job as far as what they're giving him. He would get a perfect score of 10 from me, Todd, if he was a heel and he was playing that same character. As this character, I don't think he does quite as well. What's your rating?
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay. That's a total of 22. Marketability. Well, his marketability right now is about 0, but I do think that if you returned him to that, again, we can't talk about what you might do. Turn to that heelish, psychopathic stalker character. I could see some merchandise moving of his. I could see the Bray Wyatt crowd getting into some weird guy like that and buying some merchandise if you were smart enough to market it the right way. I don't think it's overly marketable, but I think it's at least slightly above average, so I'm going to say 6, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to go say 6 as well. And think about this: if you found somebody like a Bray Wyatt to talk for him, and he's just a enforcer, you know,
yep,
he's just that enforcer guy, then that's fine. I mean, if you go back and you look at some of the stuff that Bray Wyatt's brothers, Bo Dallas, is putting on that YouTube page, It Begins Again, and he's talking just like Bray Wyatt and all that stuff. But that's the, if you wanted to do the Bray Wyatt 6, I'd put him in a Bray Wyatt 6.
Absolutely, it would be a good spot for him. Todd, what's your rating on the marketability?
6.
Okay, so that's 18 total. So let's see. Let's add up Dexter Lumis. We've got 40, 50, 61, 71, 77 for Dexter Lumis. All right, Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio in ring work. Well, he's not his dad, but then again, he's not built like his dad, and he's not supposed to be his dad. He's still green. And he still has a ways to go. His ring placement is fine. I don't see him do much botching. He has, you know, he's a limited move set right now. I'm sure he's going to expand it. What we're seeing right now, I'll give him a 7. I think there's much more to come and a ton of potential. Right now, it's 7, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's a 7 as well. And I do think that you look at his body type and you, being that he's much, much taller than his dad, he's probably over 6 feet, you could probably put another, say, 15 pounds on him, and he'd be fine. And he still has,
yep,
the quickness and the agility. So, yeah, 7 for me.
Okay, so that's 14 so far. Todd, in ring work, Dominic Mysterio.
Well, like you guys said, he needs a little more ring work. And like you said, he's a little green, but I'm going to give him a 7.
Okay, 21 total. Mic work. Well, he's not allowed to talk. Every time he goes to talk, the audience either boos him quiet or the WWE turns up the boos and turns down his mic. However, when he does get to say some stuff, he's fine. He's fine. He's not brilliant, but he's fine. So once again, I'm going to give him a 7. I think he's doing okay for how long he's been in the business, Mike.
I think he's doing fine. I think it's a 7, but again, it's one of these things when they decide to let him go and not turn his mic down or not turn the audience up, I think that's when he's going to improve. So 7
absolutely
with an up arrow.
Yeah, I do think he'll get much better as time goes by. All right, Todd, your rating on Dominic Mysterio mic work?
7.
All right, so we're all in agreement on that one. On 21. Ability to play the character. If you had told me that the guy who came out with Rey Mysterio to be his tag team partner could pull off dirty Dominic Mysterio the way he did, I would have said, yeah, I don't think so. I think this is going to be a disaster. I think he's just too baby-faced. He's just too green. He's just too whatever, soft-spoken. It's not going to work, and it did work. And it worked tremendously. And I tell you, I don't know how we could do much better. So, you know, I hate to give anybody a perfect score, but I can't see him doing much better, Mike. So I think I'm going to give him a 10.
I'm going to give him a 10 with an asterisk because it definitely helped him out when they put him with Rhea Ripley.
Hugely helped, yes. Yeah, that would not have happened without going into the Judgment Day. There's no question about that. All right, Todd, ability to play the character.
A 10.
He gets a perfect score on that. That's his strong point, then, according to us. Marketability, well, I see some people with these dirty Dominic Mysterio T-shirts and things. I think he has some marketability. I think he's going to have more later. A lot of it's due to the Judgment Day. Again, a lot of it's due to Rhea Ripley on his own. I don't know. I'm going to say probably a 6. I'll say it's above average, but just slightly above average.
Again, it's slightly above average, but above average with an arrow, I'm going to give it a 6. An up arrow, I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, 2 6s for his marketability. And Todd, Dominic Mysterio.
A 6.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that as well. That's 18, so we get, all right, 48. Dominic Mysterio gets a 90. Pretty good score. Pretty good score. Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, but hey, that's what we're doing here on this show, right? Drew McIntyre, in my opinion, even though he definitely is, as of late, spouting a very limited moveset, is still one of the most underrated wrestlers the WWE has had. I've seen him, albeit when he was much lighter and much younger, really be just outstanding in the ring. His ring placement is fantastic. He is always in the right place at the right time. His ring placement for moves, always perfect. His ability to sell, perfect. His ability to carry a worker sometimes, very good. I believe him to be one of the more underrated wrestlers. He's not perfect, but I know he can pull off matches with almost anyone. For that reason, I'm going to give him a 9, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well. I mean, just look at those matches between him, Gunther, and Sheamus, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they were mostly punch and kicks, but that's what it required. And again, with all of that stuff going on, ring placement fine, ability to sell the moves and sell the very good, very high. I think he's one of their more underrated ones. Todd, your rating on McIntyre ring work?
A 9.
Okay, so we're 27 on that. Mic work. Well, for a while it wasn't good. For a while it was kind of hokey, and it was just, I'm Drew McIntyre, and I'm, you know, a tough guy. As of late, he's really picked it up with this gray area heel where he's, I'm not a heel. I'm just trying to fight for one, my, you know, pound of flesh. And I'm not forgiving these people who did stuff to me. And some of the stuff he says is very logical. You know, the one thing about wrestling that I always hated is your opponent ends up, you know, hitting your wife, beating up your best friend, throwing your belt in the river, dragging your relative's carcass out of a graveyard with a semi-truck, and then a month and a half later, when he turns face, you guys are friends. And I'm like, that's probably one of the stupidest things in wrestling. And with Drew McIntyre saying, I'm sorry, I don't forgive Jey Uso. Fine, he's turned a new leaf. Too bad. He cost me something that was important to me, and I don't forgive him for it. Kind of makes sense. I think it's about time. And I think he held his own with CM Punk, who everybody says is a 10, including us. So I'm going to give him a 9 on this as well, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well, and that's the thing. This guy, I mean, look, even when he was back there in TNA, okay, he was very, very good on the mic in TNA, you know?
Yeah, underrated again. I think, you know, sometimes his size and his style belie the point of how good he actually is. Todd, what's your rating on Drew McIntyre mic work?
A 9.
Okay, we're 27 on that one. We now go to ability to play the character. Well, when he was just coming out as the Braveheart guy, it was weak. I mean, it was still above average for the character you gave him with a sword and the whole whatever. But it was a weak character. Now that you're giving him this, and he's really excelling at it, I think he's very, very good at it. I think he can play most of the character personas you give him fairly well. This one better than most. So I'll give him an 8 overall on that, Mike.
I got to give him an 8 as well. And think about this. At one point, Stone Cold Steve Austin was basically a gray area heel, right? And what
yep.
happened after a few months, after maybe a year or so, at that gray area heel deal? Boom.
Yeah.
He caught fire, and the rest is history.
Yeah, he's been able to do this gray area heel thing very well. Todd, what's your rating on McIntyre's ability to play character?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay, so that is 16 and 9 is 25 there. All right, so we are now going to marketability. Well, as this character, it's probably not super high. He has some cool gimmicks for sale. The t-shirt with a sword and everything is okay. I do see some people wearing it. I think it's not as high as a lot of people. It's probably his weakness, actually. It's probably why he's not long-term champion, because the marketability of him is lower than they would like for their champion. Still think it's above average. I'll say a 7, Mike.
I'll say a 7 as well. But if you give him something different to do, he's well spoken. He presents well. He's one of these guys that could go on to, you know, Morning with Regis or Good Morning America or Fox News or whatever, and speak, right?
Right, and I want people to understand that the marketability we're talking about is, in fact, more than just selling T-shirts or selling little gimmicks at the souvenir stand. Marketability is also your ability to go out, like you said, on television shows and do radio and be well-spoken and represent your company well and, you know, and all that. So we're taking all that into consideration. Todd, marketability on
Drew McIntyre.
Okay,
give it a 5.
All right, so he's giving just average. So that's, let's see, 14, that's 19. So that gives Drew McIntyre, let's see, 54, 98. Yes, 98. Okay, Eric, from the Viking Raiders. Ring work. Well, for a big guy, his ring work's pretty good. I don't think it's necessarily as good as Ivar's, but it's good. It's definitely above average, especially for a guy his size. So I'll say a 7. I think 7 is fair.
I think 7 is fair, but it's with an asterisk because, again, he hadn't come back yet.
Right. Okay, so we got 2 sevens there. Todd, Eric from the Viking Raiders.
A 7.
Okay, that's a total of 21. And Mike Work. Well, this is the weaknesses. This is the weaknesses of the Viking Raiders. It's tough when that's your gimmick and you really are just supposed to growl and yell. We saw them when they did the comedic stuff with the Street Profits a few years ago, and that was pretty funny. But I still, again, I think Ivar was a little better at that. I think he's average to maybe slightly above. I'll give him a 6, Mike.
I'll give him a 6, but it definitely helps him out to have Valhalla with him.
Yeah, exactly. Makes a huge difference. So a 6 for the mic work. What's your rating, Todd?
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay, so that's 18 all over. Ability to play the character. Wow. I mean, that he's really into it in real life. Him and his wife are very into that Norse whatever, the Viking heritage stuff. And he looks the part. He acts the part. He's, would be better maybe if he had a little more muscle tone, but it is what it is. I'm going to say a 9 on that, Mike.
I'm going to say a 9 as well. I mean, all 3 of them, get high marks for playing the character.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, Todd, ability to play the character.
A 9. A 9.
Okay, that gives him a total of 27. Marketability. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Individual, he's not an individual wrestler, really. I mean, he may be when he comes back. I don't know what they're going to do. But the Viking Raiders have some marketability because there is that audience that are into the Renaissance festivals and the whole Norse mythology and the whole Viking thing. So there is some marketability to that group. So Eric would not be, it would probably be just barely slightly above average. So I'm going to say 6, Mike.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. Probably an 8. And think about this. That show that was on History Network, The Vikings, was a very, very popular show. And now they're going to do a second, version of that. Well, it's not exactly the Vikings, but it's the next in the series, right? So that's going to do well. So if that does well, then 8, for them too, so.
Yeah, so now let me get it straight, because it was your final rating on him now an 8, is that what you're saying, or a 6?
An 8.
Okay, so he's got an 8. So there's an 8 and a 6. Todd, what is your rating?
An 8.
Okay, wow. That gives him 22. So we now have, for Eric from the Viking Raiders, let's see, 20, 39, 49, 59. It's 88 for Eric from the Viking Raiders. Very good. Finn Balor. Ring work. Well, we know Finn Balor is a great athlete. And even though I personally think his ring work is boring and it's the same thing every single solitary time in the same order, which drives me absolutely up the wall, I'm not denying his ring ability. I know that he can go. And I know that he can go for a long period of time, and I know that he has a lot more weapons in his arsenal than he's being allowed to use or whatever. Again, his ring placement's very good. His timing is very good. I give him I'm taking marks off for the following reason, just so people know. If you want to go on strict athletic ability and his ability to do the moves, he's a 10. Here is where he gets points off from me. He treats every single opponent exactly the same. If he's standing toe-to-toe and fighting it out with a guy the size of, let's say, I don't know, Butch or now, you know, Pete Dunne, he does it the same as if he's standing there with Bobby Lashley. That's ridiculous. You can't exchange punches with Pete Dunne the same way you exchange punches with Bobby Lashley, or you're not selling your opponent. And Finn Balor does that on a regular basis, and that's why I'm knocking it down two notches. I'm going to give him an 8 on it, Mike.
Same thing for me, an 8, because, again, you can't sell the same way versus Rey Mysterio that you sell against, say, Ivar.
Right. It doesn't work, and he does it constantly. It's not like he did it once, and you say, oh, well, whatever, brain fart. No, he does it all the time. Todd, your rating on Finn Balor, ring work.
An 8.
Yeah, he still manages to get a 24 despite that obvious flaw that I think we all agree with. Mic work, weak spot. Never liked Finn Balor on the mic. Never thought he was very good on the mic. Always needs to have somebody to talk to who is better on the mic. He's not awful. He's not below average. I just don't think he's above average. And if he is, it's just slightly. So I'll say 6, Mike.
I'll say 6, and that's no joke. I mean, when he's in there with the rest of the Judgment Day, they're obviously better than him. R-Truth is better than him.
Oh, R-Truth a million times better. Yeah, yeah, R-Truth a million times better. Mike Work, Finn Balor, so we got 2 6s. Todd?
I'm going to give it a 6 as well.
Okay. We then get to ability to, ability to play the character. I don't know what character it is, and I don't think Finn Balor knows what character it is. And when he does try to play, when he did officially join the Judgment Day and he tried to play that goth sort of a character, it was awful. He had no idea what it is. I'll dress in black and put a purple scarf in my pocket. Now he's sort of just playing himself, and he does a little bit better, but I never thought he was better than average at this mic, and I'm going to give him a 5.
Yeah, a 5 for me. I mean, when he's playing the growling, you know, entrance with his mask on, that's great, but he doesn't talk. So, that thing. So, yeah, 5.
And the reason I don't even give him points for the demon is because he doesn't even change anything except the entrance. He comes out as the demon, the entrance is different, and then he wrestles just like Finn Balor. Everything's the same. I don't think he has a great ability to play. I don't think he has any versatility when it comes to playing characters. He has to be the person he is, or he doesn't do it well. Todd, what's your rating on Balor's ability to play character?
I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that. He gets a 15 for that. Marketability, again, it all relies on the Judgment Day. But I do know that when he was Finn Balor before, he does have the demon, and that's marketable. And when he was a face, there was some marketability there. So he has potential to be marketable. So I'll give him a 7 on that one, Mike.
Yeah, I got to give him a 7 as well. And think about this. If they played the whole demon thing right, they could have had a figure, an action figure, with a demon mask, if they had played it right.
And I'm not sure they didn't. Didn't they have a an action figure with the demon. I'm pretty sure they did. That is a that's definitely marketable. There's no question in my mind that the demon is a marketable gimmick. That's for sure. I just don't think that Finn Balor himself is to any real degree. I mean, what do you market? All he's really had is the Judgment Day, and the Judgment Day has proven to be marketable as a group. But I don't think they are all that marketable individually, at least, especially him. I don't think he's all that marketable. So I gave him a 7, and, you know, only because of the demon. Aside from that, I don't think he's marketable at all. Todd, your rating.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, so that's a 21. So let's see. We got 78 for Finn Balor. Giovanni Vinci. Quite possibly one of the most underrated people when it comes to ring work. He has some very inventive stuff, and he has one of the very, very best running clotheslines I've seen. He's a lot better than he's been led on to be right now. Hopefully in the future, you'll really see more of him. But his ability, I think, is at least an 8. And I'm going to go one higher. I'm going to say a 9, Mike.
I'm going to say a 9. He's very underrated because I'm going to say a 9 because I think he's very underrated. I like his tag team partner. I like Gunther, but between the three of them, we know who we think is supposed to be the leader of that group, but it's not because
of course.
It's the ring general and all that stuff. But he's very Vinci is very underrated, and I think he could be a guy that could be a breakout guy.
Yeah, he's very, very good in the ring. There's no question about that. A great athlete. So that's 2 9s. Giovanni Vinci, Todd.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, that's 27. Mic work. Well, we haven't seen him do much mic work. And to be perfectly honest, the little bit he has hasn't been great. I think he has the potential to be above average if they let him say a few lines. I got to give him a 6 only because it's a question mark, Mike. So I'll say 6.
I'll say 6 as well because it's a question mark because really the other two are the ones that do the mic work. I'm going to pick it up and
destroy. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, let's go to Todd. Mic work, Giovanni Vinci.
I'm going to give it a 6 as well with a question mark as well.
Oh, okay. Ability to play the character. Well, again, we don't know what his character is really. He's like a third banana to Gunther. You know, I don't necessarily see him as a character portraying guy. So this is, again, this is one of his weaknesses. I'm going to go with a 5 here, Mike.
I'm going to go with a 5. I mean, he's a third banana. We know what Gunther is supposed to be. Kaiser is, well, supposed to be German. Gunther is supposed to be whatever. Austrian or whatever it is, and I think the general thing was he was Fabian Aichner is a German thing was Fabian Aichner was his original thing, but they changed it to be an Italian guy. So Giovanni Vinci, you know, so
yeah,
so again it fits, and I'm still waiting for a Japanese guy to join that group.
Yeah, you never know. Okay, ability to play the character, Todd.
I'm gonna give it a 9.
Wow, okay. So you like his ability to play the character. So that's all right, so that's 10 and 9, that's 19 for him. Marketability. Well, here's the problem. I see him almost like I see Cesaro. Cesaro was one of those guys who, God, he was really good in the ring, and the mic work was, and then he had some marketability, but the WWE kind of drained it of him. I don't see Vinci being marketable. I'm going to say a 4 on this. I just don't see where you'd get any marketability from him, Mike.
You're right, and 4. And look, could he catch fire and have the Vinci section? I mean, they could have done a lot with the Cesaro section. That could have been a doggone T-shirt. I'm not so sure it wasn't a T-shirt, was it?
Pretty sure it was. It could have been.
That could have been a big deal, and they just, I don't know. So, 5.
Okay, so we got a 5 and a 4. Todd, what is your rating on marketability?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay, so we have got 13 on that. So we now see what Vinci's weaknesses are, really. It's not the ring work, that's for sure. We got, 77. Okay, Gunther is next. Ring work. This is one who I think is slightly overrated. Everybody's going to say, oh, it's a 10. I don't see it. And I'll tell you why I don't see it. For the same reason I don't see Finn Balor. I see Gunther too often take a move that should almost pin 90% of the roster, and he kicks out at 2 and then gets right back up. Like, well, that didn't really hurt. He's not the Undertaker. That was the Undertaker's gimmick, so I get it. But literally, you can't, take a stunner from, Kevin Owens and then just be like, okay, I'm fine. 2 count, I'm fine. And he does it too often. He also does the thing where, oh, I was in a hard-fought match and then I win, and all of a sudden, I'm not hurt at all. I'm up. I'm gloating about my victory. I'm not holding my arm that before I was screaming in agony about. I think he misses the boat on the selling department. He's fine with the execution of moves. He's fine with the ring plates. He almost never botches. His weakness is the selling. He's inconsistent with the selling, and sometimes he just downright undersells. Especially, it's one thing to undersell to somebody who's a mid-carder. It's another thing when you're underselling, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. You can't take a brogue kick or you can't take a claymore kick and just roll out of the ring on your feet and be like, hey, that hurt a little bit. No, that finished off Brock Lesnar. So you can't do that. So I can't give him a perfect score. I'm going to give him an 8, Mike.
I got to give him an 8 as well. And that's the thing. I mean, when you're getting hit with the Future Shock DDT and you're kicking out at 1,
right. Right. And even if you're going to kick out at 1, at least sell it. It still hurt. You don't just pop right back up and start going on the offense like, okay, well, that stunned me for an 1/8 of a second. Well, come on. And then later on, you're selling, a drop kick more than you just sold that guy's finisher. So I think his selling is inconsistent. And that's the one thing about Gunther that holds me back from giving him a higher score. Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, 24 there. Mic work, not the greatest guy on the mic. He's getting better, but he's not the greatest guy on the mic. He doesn't totally suck, but he's boring. He's still better than average, so I'm going to, I'm teetering between a 6 and a 7, but I'll give him a 7 to be fair, Mike.
I'm going to give him a 7 as well, but we've said it before, and we'll get to his third guy in that group in a little while. But, 7.
Okay, so mic work for Gunther. We got 2 7s. Todd, your rating?
A 7.
Okay, ability to play the character. This is his strong point. He looks the part. He acts the part. He talks the part. He walks the part. His body language is the part. You don't even have to know what he's supposed to be. If you've never watched wrestling before in your life ever, and he comes out, the very first thing you're going to say is, what's he supposed to be, like sort of an anti-American, quasi-Nazi type guy? He plays it perfectly, so I have to give him a perfect score. I'm giving him a 10 on this.
I'm giving him a 10 on this as well. I guarantee you this. If you go back and you watch our friend, the Goose Stepper from the 70s and 60s, and we would probably give him the same score for playing that same character.
You know what?
You know?
Yeah, you're right. And Baron von Raschke. But here's the deal. Baron von Raschke had some help. He could come out wearing the cape with the Nazi swastika on it. It wasn't something that was considered taboo. Gunther has to do this without the help of those visual aids, and he still does it well. So that's why I'm giving him a 10 on that. So we got two 10s. What's your thoughts on that, Todd?
Oh, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to give it a 10 as well.
Okay, we now come to marketability. There's going to be a very select audience for his marketability. Gunther's not the type of guy that's going to sell a whole bunch of T-shirts. He's not the type of guy that's going to have a whole bunch of gimmicks. He's not the type of guy you want to send on the circuit to promote the Federation. He's not the type of guy who's going to do charity work and do all kinds of, you know, whatevers. So I think it's a weak. I think it's a weakness. I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to say 5 as well. I just don't see it. I mean, he's a good looking guy. He's an all right looking guy. He speaks all right, but he's not his partner, you know, in that group that we'll get. And I say we'll get to him as well. So 5.
Okay, so we got 2 5s on marketability. Todd, rating on Gunther marketability?
A 5.
Okay, so let's add him up there. That's 45, 59, 69, 66, 76, 76. That is a strong 90 for Gunther. Humberto, ring work on Humberto Carrillo. He's very talented. As you saw this week on SmackDown, which was a really solid SmackDown, by the way, I absolutely loved the match between the LWO and Santos Escobar's guys. I wish they'd save things like that for a pay-per-view, to be honest, where we really could have seen him go all out. But Humberto's very good. He's got the lucha style down. He's gained a little weight, and he's doing a little more American-style wrestling and a little less lucha. He's still got a unlimited moveset. I'm going to give him a 9, Mike.
I'm going to give him a 9 as well. I mean, the guy's got the – of course, he came back and he's puffed himself up a little bit. You know, he's cut a little bit more, both him and Angel. And I think, like you said, unlimited moveset. I mean, this – there's a potential for a Latino division in the WWE now.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching that match. And, you know, I think a lot of other people did too. And Humberto's come a long way since he first came in. So we got 2 9s on ring work. Todd, ring work for Humberto.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, 27. Now we get to mic work. Well, it's not great, I can tell you that. When he came in as this, you know, baby face, it was awful. It was probably a 3. He went over in NXT with Angel, and who Angel, by the way, is very good on the mic. Humberto, this is his weakness, though, and he's gotten slightly better. Still not great. Maybe just barely average, so I'm going to say 5, Mike.
I'm going to say 5 as well, but really – who's going to be doing all the talking for that group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you got 2 good ones, you know, because obviously Escobar can talk for that group, but Angel could too if they wanted him to. So he's kind of the guy that doesn't talk so much. 2 fives. What do you got there, Todd, for mic work on Humberto?
A five.
Okay, we now come to ability to play the character. Well, when he was a face, I thought it was bad because he comes across weird, and he has a very punchable face. I've always said that. The minute he came through, I said, you know, if you're going to put Humberto against Angel, I think people are going to root for Angel because Humberto has this punchable face. Now that he's a heel, I think he plays the character fine. I'll give him a 8 on that, Mike. I think he's fine.
I think he's fine as well. And this is one of these things where he's in the correct spot. He's in the correct place. He's got two guys that can speak for him. He's got that face that you just want to punch, like you said.
Yeah, he's doing much better, I think, this way. Todd, ability to play the character.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, that's 24. Marketability on his own, probably not high at all. I think Santos's group has the ability to be very marketable, very marketable. But that's not Humberto by himself. Humberto by himself is going to be low. I'm going to say a 4, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to say average 5.
Okay, so we got a 4 and a 5 on his marketability. Todd,
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay, so that's a 13 on that. And again, I don't know if he's the type of guy you could send out to do, you know, charity work or talk shows or anything like that. It's certainly not as good as, like, Angel, who you definitely could. All right, Ivar from the Viking Raiders. Ring work. Man, for a big guy, yes, he does occasionally botch. But I got to tell you, for a guy that size, to have that decent of a cardio, that's another thing you got to consider about Ivar. He doesn't go in there necessarily and always do two-minute matches. And oftentimes he's in there with guys who are much lighter and much more agile, and he's got to keep up with them to a certain degree, as we saw with Akira Tozawa. I think his ring work is really good for a big guy. I'm going to give him an 8 on this, Mike.
I'm going to give it an 8 as well. And look, here's the deal. You look at him, and you don't expect for him to have that cardio. I mean, he's a lot like Dusty Rhodes. You looked at Dusty Rhodes and you said, looking God, but you never expected Dusty Rhodes to be able to do a 40-minute match like he had done so many times with Ric Flair, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I think Ivar is much better cardio than he's given credit for. So we have 2 8s on Ivar. Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that at 24. Now, Derek is saying, you know, he thinks he's a 10 because of the moonsault. Well, one move doesn't make the great moveset, though. You got to take everything into consideration, which means your moveset, your ability to sell, your ring placement, the amount of times that you botch, the opponent. Can you, for instance, like Shawn Michaels would get a 10 because if he gets in there against Sid, he can handle the big guys perfectly. He gets in there against Rey Mysterio, handle the little guys perfectly. Every single opponent, regardless of their size or their style, Shawn Michaels was perfect with. Ivar's probably not. He does better with certain people than he does with others. As we saw when he was taking on Bronson Reed. So that's why, you know, I am, you know, you could say it's being hard, but 8, I think 8's fair. Mic work. Well, I mean, here's the problem. He ain't supposed to say much. He's supposed to be a Viking, I guess, you know. So when he's shouting, you think you're big. You're not big, I'm big, to Akira Tozawa. That's, I don't know what he's saying. You know, again, are you going to kill him for his character? That's his character. So I think if given the opportunity, remember when they were doing the Street Profits thing and they were doing the Olympic stuff with basketball and axe throwing and everything, he was actually pretty funny and pretty charismatic. So I'm going to give him an above average score. I'm going to give him a 7 on the mic work, Mike.
I'm going to give him a 7 as well. And look, here's the deal. It's much like his tag team partner. When you're not talking, but Bahal's talking for you,
right?
You know, it's not their fault that they don't talk. It's the gimmick, and it's the fact that Bahal is very charismatic and talks well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I think he does fine for what he's doing. What's your rating, Todd?
I got to go with you guys.
Oops, I'm sorry. Let me get you back. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with the same grade with you guys. A 7.
All right. So we got 21 for that. Ability to play the character. Well, you know, I think it depends. If you say, well, he's supposed to be a real Viking, he probably looks more like a real Viking than Eric. If you say a cosplay type guy, here's the thing about him. I think he's more versatile than Eric. I've seen him do the comedy stuff, and he was real good at it. I've seen him do the real serious, we're going to break people in half for the fun of it thing. He's pretty good at it. So I think he's pretty solid. I think this is one of the stronger points, so I'm going to give him a 9 on that, Mike.
I'm going to give him a 9 as well. And look, I mean, even though he has that big beard, you still can get some pretty good facial expression from Ivar.
Yeah, he does. He has good body language and good visuals. Okay, so Todd, on the ability to play the character.
A 9.
Okay, so we're all in agreement on that. Marketability. I think he's a little more marketable than Eric, and I'll tell you why. Because when he was doing like Warbeard Hansen, which he used to do in other federations, people were actually selling those beards. And they were selling the T-shirts that said Warbeard, and they were doing that. There's a marketability there. Again, it's with a lot of the Renaissance people and the Viking and the Norse mythology, people who love that kind of stuff. But he's still a little more marketable than Eric. So I'm going to give him a 7 on that one, Mike.
I got to give him a 7 as well.
Okay, so that's 2 sevens on marketability. Todd?
A 7.
Okay, so we're in agreement on that as well. So let's see where that puts Ivar. Mm-hmm. 93 for Ivar. It's pretty good. J.D. McDonough. Ring work is fine. As a matter of fact, I think his ring work might end up hurting him in the long run, and I'll tell you why. He's falling into the Dolph Ziggler syndrome. He is so good at making other wrestlers look good that they're not worried about making him look good. They're just saying, oh, you go out there and bump. Just go out there and bump. Make this guy look good. Make that guy look good. You take the fall. You get trashed. That's his worth to the company. But I've not seen him botch anything. And his ring placement is excellent. His selling is phenomenally good. Maybe too good. So I'm going to give him a 9 on this, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well. He doesn't botch. I mean, it's not like we're watching, we've said it before about his partner, Finn Balor. Finn Balor's okay, but he botches sometimes, right? This guy,
sometimes
he's like Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, he's like Dolph Ziggler. I cannot remember the last time I've seen Dolph Ziggler botch.
No. He's very good at making other people look good. Unfortunately, it's going to be at the detriment of his own career because that's what's going to end up happening. He's going to fall into that syndrome of you just bump for people. Todd, what's your rating on J.D. McDonough's ring work?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay, so that is 1826. total. Okay. Mike Work. I think he's better than I thought he was going to be. I thought originally, man, this is he's going to be another Finn Balor where he can't. But playing this, he's very good at – I almost wish he would turn face, and I'll tell you why. When he was trying to get in the Judgment Day and everybody was picking on him and they didn't want him in there and everything, he's very good at displaying his emotions of being like he's scared, he's depressed, he's this, he's that. He's very good at that. And, you know, when he has to do the tough guy thing, he's not so good at it. But he conveys his emotions very well. I think he is better on the mic than a lot of people think he is. And I think we're going to see that in the near future. I'm going to give him an 8 on this too, Mike. I think he's quite good on the mic.
Yeah, I think he's quite good on the mic. If they give him a chance, he sounds like he's well-spoken and all that stuff. So, yeah, an 8.
I definitely like his facial expressions and stuff. He can convey his emotions with his facial expressions. Todd, what's your rating on J.D. McDonagh, Mike Work?
I'm going to give it an 8, too.
Okay, 24 total. Ability to play the character. Again, I don't know what his character is. He's a guy who's trying hard to – he's an underdog in a heel faction. He's doing fine. You know, I think he could expand that character. I think he has the ability to do it. So I'll give him an 8 on that as well, Mike.
I got to give him an 8 as well. And here's the thing. You talk about playing the underdog in a faction, but here's the deal. You could very well flip him face and put him in that Daniel Bryan role.
Absolutely, you could. Absolutely. And I think that's where he's going to end up eventually, by the way. Okay, Todd, on his ability to play the character.
An 8.
Okay, we're in agreement on that. Marketability, right now, very low. I think if he turned face and did a push as an underdog face, probably it would be above average. Right now, it's not too high. Unless they want to sell bobbleheads of him, then I think people might buy that. Just make a big head and a little body and use the bobblehead, and that probably would sell. I'm going to say right now 5, Mike.
Yeah, 5 with an up arrow.
Okie doke. And Todd, marketability.
I'm gonna give him a 5.
And also above the marketability of selling merchandise, he does have a little bit of a history of some domestic violence charges and a couple of things shadowing him that probably makes him a guy you don't want to send out to do charity work and stuff like that. I don't know, but that's, you know, I don't think he's that guy. So 5, I think, is fair. So that's 50, 60, 79. J.D. McDonagh. Jey Uso. Ring work. You know, here's the thing about Jey Uso. You want to talk about ring placement being perfect. Might be the best in the WWE at that. He is forever in the right place at the right time. I've never seen him being, like, wrong ring placement. Yeah, he's relying a lot on the super kick, and yes, he stole the spear. But, man, I'll tell you, he has a great ability in that ring to just look like he's always fighting, you know, instead of, like, going through a complex dance or setting up things for a move. He always looks like he's truly trying to win. That's one of his big strengths. He's not perfect, but he's damn close to perfect. I'm going to give him a 9, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well. And it does help him out that there now he has 2 moves that can finish you off. He has the big Uso splash, and
yep.
He has the super spear. I'm sorry, the spear. Because they don't want to weaken the spear because – that's Roman Reigns' move, right? So
right.
They're going to keep that thing strong. So He's got two moves that can finish you off. And like you said, even when he was in the tag team, his ring play, that's one of the things that made all those matches between the New Day and the Usos probably five-star matches because of his ring placement. And the other guys were working well, too, but his ring placement is impeccable.
And he also almost never botches, and some of his moves, some of the things he does is complex, and it's an easy botch, and he almost never does. So, yeah, very, very high on that. Todd, what's your rating on Jey Uso in the ring?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay, so he's gonna give it slightly lower. I think it's 26. Okay, we are now going to mic work. I cannot imagine anybody who would not give him a 10. Can't imagine it. I don't think I have ever, and I have been a wrestling fan since I was waddling around in diapers. I'm not sure I ever saw anyone who could convey their emotions to an audience without even talking better than Jey Uso. And then when he's on the mic, he's still very, very, very strong. Might be the best overall, him and Sami Zayn are close, but it might be the best overall actor in the WWE right now. So I'm giving him a 10 on this. I have always thought he was exceptional at that, Mike.
I'll give him a 10 on that as well. And we've said of the two brothers, he's the better.
Absolutely not even close. Not close. Not close. Todd, on mic work, Jey Uso.
A 10.
Okay, so that is a total of 30. Ability to play the character. Again, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get much better. When he was Roman Reigns' lapdog and you felt sorry for him, he played it perfectly. When he decided to stick with Roman Reigns and even turn on his brother there for partially, he played it perfectly. When he was Sami Zayn's best friend, he played it perfectly. I mean, he's been flawless at that. I can't give him anything less than a 10 on it, Mike.
10 as well. And even when some of the writing was iffy, Right.
That's a good point.
Yes. For and all that stuff, and he made that whole thing look really, really good because he played it the right way, you know. And that's part of it. When you play it the right way, when you speak the words, they speak it. They give you to speak in a way that makes it believable. You can't give him less than a 10. It's a 10 from me.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a more believable character. I really don't. Todd, what's your rating on that?
A 10.
Okay, now, you know, we go to marketability, and I think we're all going to look like a bunch of Jey Uso marks, but how can you not give a guy a 10 that can sell a T-shirt that says Yeet, and it's blurry? You get a blurry-ass-looking T-shirt that says Yeet. I don't even know what it means. 1,000 people in the audience got one. He is the type of guy that you could send out to do charity work. He is the type of guy that you could send out to do talk shows. You see him on the commercials. The sponsors want him to plug their stuff. How can you be much more marketable than that? It's a 10 again, Mike, for me.
Gotta be a 10 for me as well. You know, And that's the thing, this guy, I mean, there's a reason why they think so highly of him.
Yeah, I mean, this score is going to be extraordinarily high, but I can't see anything less than that. Todd, what's your thought on his marketability?
I'm going to give it a 10.
Okay, well, that's literally 116 for Jey Uso, which is the highest score we've given anybody, by the way, so far. But I think it's deserved. I really do. Jinder Mahal. Ring work. He's above average, but he's not much above average. I will say, I'll be kind and say 7. I almost said 6. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I'm gonna say 7 as well, because there are a lot of times when he's getting beat like a drum, and everybody knows he's getting beaten like a drum, but he still pulls off some really good moves. And generally speaking, they do keep his coloss really strong. So, 7.
Okay, 7 for Jinder. And what's your thoughts, Todd?
I'm going to give it a 7 as well.
Okay, that's 21 for good old Jinder. Mic work. While he was really good when he was doing the last couple of things, people are going to kill him for doing the comedic thing with Shinsuke, but he was told to do that. I think his mic work is actually pretty good. I'll give him an 8 on the mic work.
I'm going to give him an 8 on the mic work as well. You got to take into account that he's still going to be doing the whole managing of the tag team. So he's going to be speaking for those other two guys. So
right.
That helps him out as well. So 8.
Okay, and Todd, mic work on Jinder Mahal.
An 8.
Okay, that's a total of 24. Ability to play his character. Plays his character fine. Yeah, there are some flaws in it. Sometimes he seems to be more Indian than other times, but it's still fine. It's still pretty strong. I'm going to say 8, Mike.
Got to give him an 8 from what they, and especially it could go higher if he goes back to that whole anti-American whatever that he was doing at that time when he was just after he won the world championship, you know?
Right, yep. Todd, ability to play the character.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay. Marketability, that's where he's going to hit the shitter. Even when he was the champion, he sold nothing. There's an India market maybe for what he's selling, but widespread. I don't see he's well-spoken. And you could, I guess, send him on publicity things on the TV, but I just don't think he's the guy. And, I can't give him any more than a 5 on this. I think it's average at best, Mike.
Nothing. Yeah, average at best. And look, I mean, when he was still with Shanky, but Shanky was the one that was driving that group, though. He's so charismatic, you know. But, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got a 5 from Mike. And, Todd, your rating?
A 5.
Okay, so now we got Jinder Mahal. That's 84 for Jinder Mahal. Ludwig Kaiser. In ring, extremely, extremely good. I did see him botch a move recently, but very, very seldom does he do that. Everything he does looks like it does hurt. Also does something I like very much, and that is he acknowledges the audience during his ring work. He doesn't just, do his match and not pretend that there's nobody there. Angel Garza does that a lot, too, and Angel Garza is good at that. Angel Garza will antagonize the crowd. Which he did again on Friday. Ludwig Kaiser does that too. I think he's very good. I'm going to give him a 9. I think he's very well versed in ring length.
Yeah, I got to give him a 9 as well. And this is a guy that we've said it before, should be the leader of the group, but we understand why they want the ring general,
So 2 9s on in-ring work for Kaiser. Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, total of 27. Mic work, really strong. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of important things to say, and I don't know if he could. A lot of people are saying he could be the leader. I don't know. But I do know that everything he says seems to have an air of realism to it, at least. So I'm going to go with an 8, and I think it could be a 9, Mike, but I'll say 8.
Right, and I'll say an 8 as well. And think about this. When he was going after Maxine, all right, you know, and forcing him, he did pretty well in his tete-a-tete again with Chad Gable.
Yes. Yes, he did. So 2 8s for Mike Work. Todd, Mike Work on Ludwig Kaiser.
An 8.
Okay. Ability to play character. Well, the ability to play this character, I can tell you, is a 10. Ability to change and play a different character, I don't know. I'm guessing not high. I'm guessing this is it. So for that reason, I'm not going to give him a perfect score. I'm going to give him a 9, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well. Now, could he surprise us? I mean, there's going to come a time when they're going to play these figures out. Other than Gunther, it's going to have to break out. All right? And it's likely going to have to be going to be Kaiser. You have to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so ability to play the character, Todd.
A 9.
Okay. We now come to marketability. I don't see any. You know, you're not going to, with that current gimmick, you're not sending him to do charity work. You're not sending him to do publicity work. You're not sending him on talk shows. He's not selling merch. I don't see the marketability. I think the potential is, you know, I'm never going to give anybody a 0 or a 1 or a 2, but, I mean, I'm going to say 4 on this, Mike.
Right. He'd have to be very well massaged, so I'm going to say about a 3.
Okay, so a 4 and a 3. Todd, marketability.
A 4.
Yeah, see, I think that's what hurts Ludwig Kaiser, and that's what hurts his overall score. And I know that's why this is controversial, folks, because you're going to say, well, you know, that brought his score way down. Yeah, but it's his worth to the company that we're talking about. So let's see. We have 27, 54, 64, 64. 89 for Ludwig Kaiser. Okay. Johnny Gargano. Well, obviously, ring work. You know, he's a great seller. He's a great seller to the point where he convinced me he was injured one time on NXT when he was not. And I literally went on record as saying, I believe he's injured, and he was not. So he's a great seller. He's a great worker. He takes his size into consideration, which is something Finn Balor does not do. I don't find a flaw in his game that way, Mike, so I'm going to give him a 10 on the ring work.
10 as well.
Okay, so that's 2 10s for Johnny Gargano ring work. Todd?
A 10.
All right, so that is perfect 30 there. Mike work. I don't like his mic work. The problem with his mic work is he often comes off almost like a heel, even when he's doing it to other heels. When he was doing the situation with The Miz, he was coming off as petty and mean-spirited and nasty and smart-ass. I don't think he's good at doing the humor, like Chad Gable is. I think his mic work is a weakness. He's not terrible. He doesn't stumble over his words. You know, he's not at a loss for what to say. I just don't like the way it comes out. So I'm going to give him a 7 on this, Mike.
I got to give him a 7 as well. And the fact of the matter is when his own partner, I think, is going to get a better rating from me, you know. But,
yeah, I think that Johnny has a problem with that. I think he thinks his shtick is funny, and it's just not. So, okay, Todd, what is it for Mike Work, Johnny Gargano?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, ability to play character. Again, I think it's kind of, I don't think it's too good. You try to make him a funny sort of a guy with Dexter Loomis, it's not funny. You try to make him an underdog, and he performs in ring too well to be an underdog. To develop, I don't think he's a guy you give a whole bunch of characters to, and he can play well. And I just don't see it. I don't know. It's probably above average, but I'll give him a 7 on this one, too.
I'll give him a 7 on this one, too. But plus, the fact of the matter is when he was doing the whole thing with The Way in the NXT, that was his best character.
Yes, it was. To date, anyway. Todd, ability to play character.
A 7.
Okay, that's 21 as well. Marketability is not bad. I mean, you know, they do the Johnny Wrestling and the smiley face T-shirt and everything. It's done well. I think he's, you know, a guy who you could potentially send on shows, and he would be a very good representative, and he'd say the right things and make the right appearance and everything. His gimmick sell, I'm going to say an 8 on that one, Mike.
8 as well.
Okay, so there's 2 8s for Gargano marketability. Todd?
An 8.
Okay, so that's a total of 24. So we get 30, 40, 51, 71, 78, 102 for Johnny Gargano. That's a pretty good score. All right, Julius Creed. Okay, well, again, here's a guy who's, he's a very solid wrestler, extremely good in the ring. I'm not going to give him a perfect score because I think he's still learning, but he's a strong 9, Mike, so I'll give him a 9 on that.
That'll be a 9, too.
All right, and Todd, Julius Creed.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, total of 27. We're going to move very rapidly now, folks, so stay with us. Mike Work, at best a 5, Mike.
Yeah, 5.
Okay, so that's unfortunate. 10. Todd.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Whoa, okay, he likes his Mike Work, so that is 19. Ability to play character. Well, for the character he's playing, it's okay. I'll give him an 8, Mike.
I've given him an 8 as well. And the character, basically, that tag team is the Steiner Brothers.
Exactly what it is, yes. All right, so Todd, rating on that.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, so that is 23. Marketability as a tag team, I would say it's slightly above average. I'll say 6, Mike.
You know, I think it's a little bit better than that. The good looking, he's sort of well spoken, so I'm going to 7.
Yeah, you know what? You might be right. I'm going to give it a 7 too now, because I think they could be going on the talk show circuits and things and doing okay. Todd, what's your thought?
A 7.
All right, that's 21 total there. So we get, 40, 50, 67, 77, and even 100 for Julius. Nice. All right. Kofi Kingston. Ring work. I'm saying a solid, he does botch once in a while, but I'm still going to say a solid 9, Mike.
Yeah, I got to give it a great, good bet, very good veteran, you know, very a 9, and we know why he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yes, we do, as always. Okay, so there's 2 9s. Todd, what's your rating?
A 9.
Okay, Mike Work. I think out of the 3, he might be the weakest, but he's still damn good. I'm going to give him an 8.
Yeah, I got to give him an A as well.
Okay, so that's 2 8s. And Todd?
An 8.
Yeah, he's 24. Ability to play his character? Well, I mean, he does it well. He used to do the Jamaican accent, and then he did the underdog thing well, and then he does the tag team well. He does the. I think he plays his character fine. I'm going to give him a 9 on it, Mike.
9.
Okay, that's 2 9s. Todd, ability to play the character?
A 9.
7, okay. Marketability? Well, you got to take it, I guess, as the New Day. Because they don't really do much else. By himself, he was still marketable. Kofi Mania was running wild for a while, right? I'm going to say 9, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Got to give it a 9. And because of that, I think if they would give him another little run, maybe at Gunther or something, he'd be very marketable as an Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, plus he is a guy you could send on the talk show circuit or the charity work. So a 9 is fair. Todd, what's your rating?
A 9.
Yes, that's 27 in total. So what do we got? We got 20, 40, 60, 80, 94, 105 for Kofi. Wow. Very good. Okay. Otis. You know, ring work, it is what it is. He's a big guy. He's not going to do a ton. What he does well. So I'll give him an 8, Mike.
I'm going to give him a little bit better. I'm going to give him a 9. And, boy, when he caught Bronson Reed.
I know. That's amazing, right? Okay, so we got an 8 and a 9. Todd, Otis's ring work.
A 9.
Okay. 26 total. We then go to mic work. He's brilliant on the mic. I don't even believe he has a script. He's very, very good and very entertaining on the mic. So I have to give him a 10 on that, Mike.
I got to give him a 10 as well. I mean, you can give him anything. I mean, when he was with Tucker and they were doing the stakes and weight stuff, you know, I mean,
yep.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and sending somebody a ham and the whole thing with Mandy Rose, brilliant. Todd, what's your rating on his mic work?
I'm going to give him a 10.
Yeah, I think that's beyond a shadow of a doubt. Ability to play the character? Listen, the only thing I'm giving him 1-4 is he can't play a heel. The fans will not allow him to play a heel. He's too charismatic. They tried to make him a big, you know, monstrous bully type heel, and the fans said no. Otherwise, he would have got a perfect 10 from me, Mike. I'll give him a 9.
Got to give him a 9.
Okay, so that is 2 9s. Todd, what is your rating on Otis' character portrayal?
Well, like you said, they tried with him in a heel. The fans will not allow it. So I'm going to give him a 9.
Okay, 27 total. Marketability. Again, I think it's a 9. I think fans would buy into Otis's gimmick. If you sent him on talk shows, I would watch that talk show. I'm going to say 9, Mike. I think he's got a ton of marketability.
Yeah, you put him on Kelly Clarkson and just let him go, you know. 9.
Yeah. All right, so that's 2 9s. Todd, your rating?
A 9.
All right, so again, that's 27. So Otis is getting 110 for Otis. Wow. Amazing. Ricochet, ring work. The only thing that keeps Ricochet from not getting a 10, because he is one of the best athletes in there, is that he, again, oftentimes forgets who he's in the ring with and stands toe-to-toe with people he shouldn't. If he didn't do that, he would get a 10. He'll get a 9 for me instead, Mike.
Yeah, it's going to be a 9. I mean, he never used to do this when he was Prince Puma.
Agreed. Todd, ring work.
A 9.
Okay. Mike Work, this is his weakness, and it's his weakness by far. He is not good. He is not even average. I'm going to say a 4, Mike.
Yeah, he definitely needs somebody. A 4.
Okay, Todd Ringworth.
An 8.
Wow, okay. I'm not Ringworth. I'm sorry, Mike Work.
I'm going to give him an 8.
Okay, so he likes him, so that is 8 and a 16. And we go to ability to play the character. Well, what's his character? A high flyer? I guess he does it okay. But the mic work hurts it, so I'm going to say a 7 on that, Mike.
7.
Okay, that's 2 sevens. Ability to play the character, Todd.
A 7.
Okay, last but not least, marketability. I think he has some marketability. I think some people would buy into the Ricochet thing and things. I don't think it's high. I'll say 7, Mike.
I'll say 7, but I think if they would allow him to go to a Prince Puma-type character, it might be a little bit higher because I think he plays a mask character better than he plays the Ricochet character.
I agree with that, absolutely. Marketability, Todd.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay. So that's 14 and 8 is 22. So we get 27, 37, 43, 86 for Ricochet. Sami Zayn, ring work. I don't think Sami Zayn's ring work is perfect, and I think a lot of its stuff is, again, he's like a Finn Balor guy, does the same thing in the same way every time, doesn't botch at all, very good seller, but I'm just going to give him an 8. I'm going to give him a straight 8, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an 8 as well.
Okay, so that's 2 8s. Todd, ring work, Sami Zayn.
I'm going to give him an 8 as well.
Okay, 24. Mike Work, 10. If there was an 11 button, then I would give him an 11, Mike, but it's a 10 for sure.
It's got to be a 10 from me. The guy comes up with some of the damnedest things, you know. I mean, when he called, what's his name, a number 2, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, he's really good at conveying his emotions facially and everything. So perfect score for me, Todd. What about you?
I'm going to give him a 10 as well.
All right, so that's a perfect score. Ability to play character. Well, he played a heel perfectly. He played an underdog face perfectly. He played a reluctant heel perfectly. It's got to be a 10. I'm going to give him a 10, Mike.
10.
Okay, 2 tens for Sami Zayn. Todd. Ability to play the character.
A 10.
Okay, and then that leaves us to marketability. Sammy's very marketable. I don't think he's 100% marketable, but I'm going to give him a 9 on it. I'll give Sami Zayn a strong 9, Mike.
I'm going to give him a strong 9 as well, and they definitely missed the whole – they probably cut it off too soon because they missed the whole chance with the whole Sami Uso thing.
I think they did, too, and the only reason he's not getting a 10, it's not because he can't sell T-shirts and stuff, because he can. It's just I don't think he's the guy that goes on the talk show circuit. From what I heard, he can be a little controversial outside the ring and say things he shouldn't, and that's why he's getting a 9 from me. Todd, what's your thoughts?
A 9.
Okay, so that's 27. That gives Sami Zayn a total of 60, 70, 87. 111 for Sami Zayn. Seth Rollins. Once again, I mean, I don't know. How much better do you want a guy to be in the ring? He can go an hour if you want him to go an hour. He can make anybody look good. He can do whatever he's going to do. I don't see how you can give him. I don't see how you can give him anything but a 10, Mike.
Ted.
Okay, Todd, Seth Rollins, in ring.
A 10.
Okay, mic work. Sometimes he's annoying. If he wasn't annoying sometimes, he probably would get a 10. But sometimes he's trying to be a face, and he's annoying instead. So I'll give him a 9 on that, Mike.
Yeah, 9. And that annoying depends on that, on the character he's playing as well.
Yeah, absolutely does. Todd, what's your thoughts? Mike work.
A 9.
Okay. Ability to play the character. Well, he's played every character you can think of, from the Shield to a cult leader, religious fanatic guy to a half-crazy Joker gimmick to this guy. He's played them all pretty good. I'm going to say a 10 on that, Mike.
Even when he was playing the leader of the authority, or the pseudo-leader of the authority, 10.
Yep. And Todd, ability to play the character?
A 10.
Okay, marketability. Well, he sells a ton of merchandise, but you don't see him on, and he, when he is on these shows, he does pretty well. I've seen him on the, you know, certain talk show circuits and things. He does pretty well. I'll give him a 9. I don't think it's perfect. He has some controversial stuff going on here and there. So I'll say a 9, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to say a 9 as well. He's not his wife.
Right. Okay, so that's 9. Todd, your rating?
A 9.
Okay, so for Seth Rollins, we get 60, 70, 87, 90, 107, 114 for
wow.
Seth Rollins. Wow, that's a big score. Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke's in-ring work. Look, you know Shinsuke Nakamura is a 10, but lately he has not been. So I'm going to say a 9. You know, I think he's shortened his moveset to suit the WWE. You know, I'll say a 9, Mike.
You know what? Even with the shortening, because I know, 'cause I've seen some of his Japanese stuff, I don't care if he's shortening or not. For what they allow him to do and for what they give him to do, I'm going to go ahead and give him a 10.
Okay, we got a 9 and a 10. Todd, what's your rating? Shinsuke Nakamura, in-ring work.
I'm going to give him a 9.
Okay, that's 28. Mic work. Well, listen, he's not great on the mic, but he is fantastic at his facial expressions, his mannerisms, his whatever. Again, I'm going to give him a 9, Mike.
Much like Asuka, you know, and a lot
yep.
of the other Japanese wrestlers, 9. I mean, the guy, and when they're allowing him to do the whole speaking in Japanese thing, he's of course he's going to be great at it. It's his native language, but he carries it off really well, you know.
He really does. All right, Todd, mic work.
A 9.
Okay, that is a 27 as well. Ability to play the character. Well, he plays a heel better than a face, in my opinion. But the face is still pretty cool. I'm going to stick right down with the 9 again, Mike.
I got to give it a 9 as well, because remember, when he was with Rick Boogs, and Rick Boogs was playing him to the ring, and, you know, he did that really, really well.
He definitely did. Okay, Todd, ability to play the character.
I'm going to give him a 9.
Okay, and last but not least, marketability. Well, you know, again, because of the language thing, he's not going on a lot of talk shows and doing a lot of that kind of stuff. He can sell some merchandise. You know, it's not going to be high. I'm going to say that's probably a short weakness. I'll say a 7 on that one, Mike.
I'm going to say a 7, but with an asterisk, because if this deal comes through with New Japan and he's able
right.
to go over there and do some...
It will be totally different. Yes, you're absolutely right. Todd, what is the marketability?
Well, like you said, I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, so that's 22. So for Shinsuke Nakamura now, we get 50, 7, 8, 104 for Shinsuke Nakamura. Just a couple to go. The Miz. In-ring work, what he does perfectly well. He doesn't do a ton, but what he does perfectly well. I'm going to say 8, Mike.
I'm going to give it a little bit better and say 9.
Okay, so we got a 9 and an 8. Todd, The Miz, ring work.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay, so that's a total of 25. Mike work, I don't know how you can give him anything but a 10. I mean, I think that's probably universal. Mike, what do you think?
I don't think I can give him anything less than a 10. I mean, the guy, he knows that, especially when he's doing the Miz TV deal, now that he's a full-fledged, almost a full-fledged face, right? He is allowing the fans to participate. When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut, you know, that type of thing. And it's like, yeah, 10.
Yeah, I think so too. Todd, rating on mic work.
I'm going to give it a 10 as well.
Okay. Ability to play the character. Well, I'm going to give it a 10 too, because he's the only heel I've ever known that in 2 seconds he can take the microphone and all of a sudden fans are cheering for him again. So that I'll say 10.
10.
Okay, 2 tens there. Todd, ability to play the character.
A 10.
I even think his marketability is high because he is the guy that goes on talk shows. He is the guy you can send to do things like this. I think when he's a face, it's a 10. But when he's a heel, then, you know, it's probably a 9. So I'll say 9 marketability, but it could be a 10, Mike.
You know what? If it's not a 10, then how is he able to go and get himself a reality show?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I just think that probably the charity work and the T-shirt sales slow down when he's a heel. So that's why I gave it a 9. Todd, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay, so that is 28. So The Miz is 60, 70, 80, 90, 113 for The Miz. Wow, that's a surprise. Last one, Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods' ring work, I think Xavier Woods' ring work's really strong. I'm going to give him a 9.
I got to give him a 9 as well.
Okay, so that's 2 9s. Todd, Xavier Woods' ring work.
A 9.
Okay. Xavier Woods' mic work. That's pretty close to a 10, I got to tell you. I'm not going to give him a 10 because Sami Zayn and Jey Uso are better. But man, oh man, and man, is that close. If I could give him a 9 and 9/10, I would. But I'll give him a 9, Mike.
I got to give him a 9 as well. I mean, his ring work's been good ever since he was Consequences Creed back in the TNA days.
No doubt about it. Todd, mic work.
I'm going to give it a 10.
Okay. I don't blame you, really. It's close. Ability to play the character. Well, I mean, that's a 10. I mean, everybody knows Xavier Woods' character, and it's very obvious, so I'm going to say 10.
Yeah. Got to give him a 10. I mean, when you can get a trombone over.
Exactly. Yeah, so a 10 for Xavier Woods for his character portrayal. Todd, what do you think?
A 10.
Okay. Marketability, well, again, you know, on your own, it might not be as high as Kofi's because Kofi was champion and everything, and I don't know if there's a lot of Xavier Woods merchandise. There's certainly a lot of New Day stuff, but I'll give him a 9 only because I don't want to give him credit for all the New Day merchandise, Mike, so I'll say 9.
Got to give him a 9, but... Well, he was a pretty popular King of the Ring.
He sure as hell was. Todd, marketability.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Okay, so that closes out our Raw with, let's see, 112 for Xavier Woods. So let's see what the top guys were here. We have Seth Rollins at 114. That's one of our top guys. We have Jey Uso at 116. Ludwig Kaiser, can you believe it? It's 118. Making him literally one of our top guys. And then we got Cody Rhodes and CM Punk tied at 111. Those are your top five guys. Whoever would have thought that Ludwig Kaiser would make one of the top five? But it goes to show you, when you take everything into consideration, sometimes you'll see a blue chipper. Ludwig Kaiser has the potential to be a blue chipper because he's so strong at the in-ring work. He's so strong at being able to play his character. He's not marketable. But you can work on the marketability. See, the marketability is something that people can work on. You can't really work too well on your mic work. People either can or they can't. They're either a good actor or they're not. But the very top guy, according to this, would be Jey Uso, followed closely by Seth Rollins. And followed closely by, well, the reason we did Seth Rollins is Monday night he's not going to be the champ. Because I know that Derek is saying we weren't going to do the champions. We said we were not going to do the champions, but Seth Rollins is not going to be the champion. We don't know who's going to be the champion. We're going to do the champions separately on the, which is basically just Roman Reigns. And we, you know, again, we've done Seth. It's not going to be Seth past Monday. So it's going to be Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley. Roman Reigns, obviously, and Rhea Ripley will do separately because I want to go into detail, and we'll do Io Sky. I want to go into detail about why they're the champions. It's going to take longer. I do not believe in my heart of hearts Seth Rollins is going to be the champion after Monday night. I think he's given it up. And I have a weird feeling that they might make the Royal Rumble winner the new champion. The reason I say that is because this is Seth Rollins' same leg. And it was the leg that required surgery before. And how long was he out? He was out for a ton of time. This is the same leg. And maybe the severity of the injury isn't as high, but I think the recovery time is going to be longer. And I don't think, you know, if you talk to people and they say, well, you know, he could be back a couple of weeks before WrestleMania. Okay, but then you want to really put all that pressure on him to say, one of my first matches I'm going to have back is one of the main events of WrestleMania for 30 minutes or however long it's going to be. That's unfair. I think they're going to make him, I don't know how they're going to do it because Roman Reigns doesn't defend his belt ever. So I don't know how they're going to say, well, Seth Rollins is hurt, so he's got to give up the belt when Roman Reigns doesn't defend it. But I got a feeling that's what they're going to do. So I included Seth Rollins because I think tomorrow he's not the champion, which is going to suck for Seth Rollins. He's probably going to miss WrestleMania. I mean, he'll probably be there in some capacity. I just don't think he's going to be there as one of the champions in the main event because, again, it's unfair to him. If he's just recovered from this, you know, injury, whether it's surgery or not. If it's surgery, he's definitely not being there. If it's not surgery, you're going to tell me that he's going to be like, okay, well, I just barely passed the minimum recovery time for this, and I'm going into a 25-minute match with CM Punk as the main event of WrestleMania. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And that sucks for him, for sure. It probably sucks for us, too, because it would be a great match. So, but we will be doing next week, we will be doing a short but in-depth championship one. If Seth Rollins does indeed maintain that championship, then we'll just reiterate what we said on the show here. But I don't think it's going to happen. All indications, it's not going to happen. So we'll be doing Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky. And I think what you'll find out is they're not going to be in the top three. I think that's what you're going to find out. I don't think any one of the three of them. Rhea Ripley's marketability is high and stuff, and her in-ring is not super high, I don't think. Her ability to play the character is good for this character, but you got to remember, she bombed big time when she first came in trying to play the character she played. And she's an unsuccessful heel because people cheer her. And Io has her problems, obviously. And Roman Reigns is very absent. So, I don't even know if they're going to be. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I'm not sure they're going to be any higher than any of these people we just named. I doubt it. Anyway, before we go, let me talk a little bit about the situation with Grayson Waller. He was on a talk show, and I believe, I don't care what Dutch Mantel says, I don't care what anybody says, I believe this was a setup. He got mad because he said we were being treated disrespectfully. I guess a cameraman or a producer challenged him to a fight and then went in there and tried to be goofy. Let me explain something. When you are on television, and you're not supposed to be, when somebody walks onto a TV shoot and hands the host of a show a coffee, if their hand is shown on TV, you got to pay them. If their whole body gets shown on TV, you got to pay them a lot more. That's the rule. So for this producer to walk full body onto TV without being told to do so, I doubt it. I doubt it very, very highly. It's also in Grayson Waller's home country, and I don't know if he'd act that way in his home country. I'm crying bullshit on this one. I think it was a work. I know a lot of people say it didn't look like a work to me. It doesn't look like a work to me either, but I think it was. I think it was, for the reasons I stated. Mike, I don't know if you saw it, but what's your thoughts on that?
I didn't really see it, so I'm going to have to get back to you on that, so I don't know. But, I don't think we did everybody. I don't think we did Angel, and I don't think we did Santos. Yeah.
We did Angel. Well, Santos is SmackDown, right? Santos is SmackDown, right?
But yeah, we did Humberto today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know where Santos is. I guess we're going to have to do them on SmackDown because they were listed when we started this. They were listed on the Raw roster, and Santos wasn't. So that's why. So we'll have to do Santos separately on that. Take a look at the Grayson Waller thing. I don't know. Again. Most people are saying it was real and Waller was upset that they were being disrespected. I still say it smells like a work to me. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.